Hello, everybody. Welcome in. It's May already. How did we get there? He's Joe Harlow at Jolo63. Justin Fry at JFryDP. You check out all our content over at the IDP Plus website. And as always, hop on, get a subscription, join the Discord server, get answers to whatever questions you have from all of our fantastic writers and content creators over there. And ask us questions as we go. We're happy to answer as many of them as we can. If you have questions during the week, you're looking for some help with something, you can always shoot us an email, mailbag@idpguys.org. All right, I didn't even stop to ask, how you doing, man? Welcome back.
Thank you. Yeah, doing well. I guess I can just get ahead of it now, but this will be the last show, mailbag show, I'm doing for a little bit. Moving next week and starting a new job. So I will be back at some point, but kind of depends on how long training goes. It's a lot of moving parts, but doing well. How are you?
Good. Congrats on the new gig. Exciting.
Thank
stuff.
You.
For you and the family.
Thank you.
You'll be a lot closer to me. We can hang out in person.
Yeah, actually. Maybe at one point we'll do a show together. We'll see.
I do occasionally have to travel up that way for work, so. Sorry, go ahead.
No, we'll show off who's yelling at me.
So
I'm just hearing a phantom cat.
We got a few questions from kind of YouTube in general. Given to us by the head of our video department over at IDP Plus. So we grabbed a few of those to talk about today. So the first one, who are your top offense and IDP rookie sleepers to target?
Alrighty. So yeah, top sleepers. Really just looking through drafts. I don't know how many rookie drafts have you done already or been or ongoing for you?
You and I are in the third one that I've done, and you've been in all three of the ones that I've done. So
you have more. I have been in two others with another one also ongoing. But only two of those had IDP, one does not.
Before we do that, we just got a question in. Sorry.
Oh, wonderful.
Christian Wilkins or Quinnen Williams?
Oh, that's a good question.
For me, it's Quinnen. I think he's got a pretty solid argument for DT1 in dynasty ranks. So I think Wilkins is close. Top 5 to 8, maybe. But yeah, I'll take Quinnen Williams.
I'm going to agree in most scoring circumstances. I guess if there is a league with massive tackle boosting, then that might push Wilkins above. But in most leagues, I am going to go Quinnen for that pass rush upside.
Yeah, he's kind of a good floor and ceiling, whereas Wilkins is kind of just floor.
Yeah. The floor is massive, though.
Absolutely. Hopefully the ceiling's a little higher with Max Crosby next to him.
Yeah. Great question. Thank you, Justin. And Justin.
All right. So, sleepers. Let's start on the defensive side of the ball because we are IDP Plus. So, who would you call a sleeper D-line target? We'll see if you know who my guy is, so you feel free to take
I do. So I'm not gonna take him from you, but I think you know who one of my guys is. I'm just looking through ADP right now to see if I can find them. But sleeper ADP, I'm gonna I guess I'm between two here.
Sleeper ADP still trash.
Yeah, it's awful, especially on the ADP side. Looking at your guy in the 600s, a couple of my guys in the 700s. Great fun. But I'm going to go with Marshawn Nealand, which, shocker, I'm sure.
Huh? I said that's what I expected you to go with if you didn't take the guy I was going to say. In which case, yeah, I would have taken Nealand. So
yeah, but I'm sure. But currently sleeper ADP of 602, which I think is the 12th defensive lineman for amongst rookies. He went at in the middle of the second round at what, 52? No, that's where Ad and I went. He went in the 50s, 56, I think. But he is the landed. Say that one more time.
Yeah, I think you're right. 56 was the Cowboys pick.
But yeah, and big edge rusher. I know when we talked about him before draft, thought he would do best as a second edge rusher more than the guy. And hey, he is with Micah Parsons and DeMarcus Lawrence. So he's going to have an opportunity to step on the field day one, but also not be the guy on day one. Doesn't even need to be the second guy. Lawrence has been rotating inside more for pass rush downs, which will help him, or Nealon can also do that a little bit, though it does do well as a pure outside rusher. And I do think he's been really good in the run game. And so, yeah, he gives a little bit of floor, some ceiling. I do think he's someone I still wouldn't want to use him a lot on as a rookie. Just he's going to be a rotational piece. But I think there is a lot of upside there with the frame, athletic profile, and just having Micah Parsons, as long, assuming they lock him up long term, which I guess the way Dallas is operating, can we really assume that? But I think he's going really late. In the couple rookie drafts I've done, he has either gone undrafted or I took him with my last pick. So, and yeah, top 60 pick for free, basically. I will eat that up.
Yeah, I was to say he's one, and the guy I'm going to mention are both guys I've got. Kind of, I have one pick left in the sixth round in the draft we're in together, early sixth, and I'm like, I bet one of them's there.
Most likely.
The guy I'm going to mention, Chris Braswell, from the – I keep wanting to say he's on the Commanders, but he's on the Bucks.
I know. We mocked him there so many times. It's just like – put it in our minds that he was a Commander.
I think that put him in like 53, I want to say. He's just a little before Nealon, I think.
Yeah, that sounds right. I'll double check that. I have that.
But the Bucks, they already, I believe, are planning to move off of Joe Tryon Soyinka. Yaya Diaby is a good, solid rotational piece, but I think Braswell could easily slide in ahead of both of them and just ultimately become their top guy by probably year two. I would expect year one to be a little more of a rotation, but he does have upside if he can pop kind of early. He can get on and he can be their true every down guy, because I do think he's the best edge they have at this point.
I'd agree. And he actually went one pick after Nealon at 57.
Did he really?
Wow. Yeah. I think they both ended in a good spot for their specific skill sets. But yeah, Braswell, I like a lot. Kind of thought he would go more towards 37 than 57, but so nice value for the Bucks there.
Yeah, I think I said it on last week's show that he's my early Byron Young pick that I called last year. I'll take the shot on Braswell to be that guy that is going to have a little more redraft value than people expect this year.
Yeah, I think I would say that I would take Braswell over Nealon this year if you're in a redraft league or needing some more juice today. But long-term, how would you go Braswell long-term as well?
Yeah. They're in the same tier for me, though.
Yeah, I think I would lean Nealon, but yeah, it's pretty close. It's like, I'm not going to say you're crazy for taking Braswell. But yeah, looking at ADP, I'm trying to find Braswell. I think he's in as a linebacker on sleeper still, so... Yeah, he's a linebacker, a little higher than Nealon, but within like five spots. So good picks there. Any other honorable mentions at D-line that you want to hit before we move on? Just to mention some names.
If you're looking D-tackles, Braden Fisk, he's not super deep. Is it going to be a good fit playing with his college teammate in Verse? Those two will be fun together. And a little deeper, Michael Hall went to Cleveland. Got some real pass rush juice. Outside of the top two D tackles, he's probably the best pass rush D tackle in this class. So if you're looking for some of that sack production out of a D tackle spot, and Newton and Murphy are off the board, I target Hall. He's probably not going to pop in year one, but a little further down the line, I like him a lot.
Yeah, I love that pick. Other name on the D line I would toss out there, some more developmental guys at edge, Jalix Hunt for the Eagles and Austin Booker for the Bears. I said a different team, but those guys, neither should have a huge role year one, but lot of talent there and some refinement. Just they're going to go undrafted in most leagues. Just
if you're going to talk, if you're going to talk edges too, you and I, neither of us liked Adisa Isaac, but my ears perked up when he went to Baltimore. I'll be honest.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
That's just such a good development program there. So
it is. It's like, of course, but he's one I've really struggled to rank. But we'll get into that later.
We're going to hop over to linebackers, but speaking of linebackers,
it's
Quay Walker. I don't think it hurts what, at least for me, it doesn't hurt what I actually expected from him. The coaching staff kind of had already come out and talked about, they thought he was better at rushing the passer. They're switching from a 3-4 to a 4-3. I actually think he was already getting moved to the weak side linebacker in a 4-3 scheme to begin with, so they could let him do some of that more and get him out of the middle. So it doesn't surprise me how they did that, but it definitely hurts his overall perception in among IDP years, I would think. You agree with that?
I do agree with it. Yeah, they picked Edgerrin Cooper, who was my linebacker one going in. And then was it Tyron Hopper out of Mizzou was the other one?
Yeah.
In the third round. Yeah, that was an interesting pick. Packers do that every year.
Well, yeah, they went three safeties.
Yeah. Yep.
We might talk about here one of them in a little bit when we talk about sleeper DBs. But
yes, I think we will. Maybe two. But, yeah, I think he's hurt a little bit. I wasn't going into this offseason expecting Quay Walker to be like a true linebacker one, so I don't think it super hurts that from my perception. But I know a lot of people this time last year had him as a trendy pick to be like the next top linebacker overall, maybe the next linebacker one overall, but I don't think that's super in the realm of possibility anymore. But
yeah,
he and Cooper is an interesting combo. There's a lot of sameness there, but not.
I think we talked a couple months ago about Quay Walker as a sell candidate. It's like an IDP sell, kind of expecting this. So yeah. It stinks. But
yeah. He might be a buy now at this point, honestly. Just
I was going to say, yeah, he kind of flipped probably with the perception that's now out there. And speaking of buying linebackers, who are some rookie linebackers you're looking to buy outside of your, we'll say top five, because we could easily highlight the guys in like the 3-4-5 range as easy sleepers. But
I think the guy looking outside of the top tier, I guess, I think the top five guys are probably, say, Edge Cooper, Junior Colson, Trevon Wallace, then what, Peyton Wilson, Cedric Gray? Would you say that's the top tier right now?
Yeah. Yep.
So looking away from that group, the top one I'm going to go with is actually Jordan McGee for Washington out of Temple. Liked his film a lot. Thought he's talented, good player. I know the PFF side loved him. I think some of them had him as linebacker 3 overall. And I do think it's a good fit. He's probably not going to do much this year with Bobby Wagner and Frankie Louvu there, but Wagner I don't expect to be around much longer. McGee has a similar profile, not that same upside, but I think he can step in and be like a really good day two linebacker or day two for NFL sophomore season linebacker and put up some good numbers. Again, outside of this top five, I don't know if anyone's really going to have day one impact, but McGee, someone long-term, I think could be a solid play. What about you?
I agree with that. He was one of the two that I had for this. So you taking one, Pretty easy. I'll go to Seattle, Tyrus Knight, out of UTEP. Very athletic, Senior Bowl standout. I guess the coaches at UTEP all loved him too. Very athletic. So, and that depth chart is wide open. They got two guys there on one-year deals, and Terrell Dotson and Jerome Baker. That honestly, if Knight shows up and plays, he probably is the only option for there to be a day one impact out of these guys.
Yeah.
Because that they have no reason to not play him.
Yep.
So.
Yeah. He's one. I thought that was an interesting pick. Super raw player, but despite experience, but that could also just be the G5 level.
Yeah. It'll be interesting to see what he does. That will hop down to DB, which pretty much they're all sleepers at this point, because right. I mean, you and I don't even agree on the top guys, so.
No.
Honestly, your DB1 could be the top sleeper, to be honest.
Yeah. I'll let you go first, then. And you can, if you want to take him, go for it. And if not, I'll find someone else.
Got a couple I'll actually go with, I kind of hinted at the third safety in Green Bay. I forget what round he went in, but I'm going to butcher his name. Kitan Oladapo.
Great.
He might be the starting – I think he could start at strong safety next to McKinney, and they'd be a little more interchangeable, and it would be a really good safety room with those two, because I think Bullard's going to play nickel, and I like him more than their – I think Oladapo was a fourth rounder. And they picked an Oregon safety in the fifth. Oladapo in the fifth, sorry. And an Oregon linebacker they picked ahead of him. But I like Oladapo more and think he's got some serious juice and could be someone to snatch up late in drafts.
Yep, totally agree there. Oladapo is someone I love as a box safety. I think he makes sense. Evan Williams was the Oregon safety they took before him. And that was another shocking pick. I didn't think he was going to get drafted, let alone top 130. So, okay.
Yeah, that one, I was like, who is this guy? Like, I barely reviewed him.
Yeah, but Green Bay always does some weird stuff. But as you alluded to, my DB1, is there a little bit of take lock here? Yeah, probably. And I will say this is definitely a dynasty one. I don't expect much of a role, or I don't expect a consistent role in year one. But I'm sticking with Jaden Hicks as my DB1 and sleeper here. Dude is an awesome box safety prospect. Him falling in the draft was a real surprise, especially with some of the other safeties who went over him, who don't have nearly the talent or skill set he does. Was even like Dane Brugler's, Daniel Jeremiah's were like not sure why he was falling. So interesting there. But with Kansas City, I do think he has a very good opportunity next year to potentially be that box safety. And they've had a really good defense. They've had really great production from the box safeties. Justin Reed is there for a few more years, but does have that box and deep safety hybrid ability. With Houston, he was, before signing with Kansas City, he played deep more than not. And this year with Byron Cook and Mike Edwards was their third safety, he did kind of have to move more to the box, but I do think, and Cook is injured, so I do think that Hicks could end up being a very sneaky buy. And every league I've been in so far, he has gone undrafted. So, or I think one I took him in this like the seventh round. So, I think Sue, again, he's basically free and does have DB1 upside from this class. So, I think upside shot.
Yeah. And where did Mustafa go?
He went to San Francisco, which is another. Another one for 2025 if Hufanga gets hurt again. But
gotcha.
Yeah. Unfortunate.
If you're looking for a cornerback, even in DB leagues, I'm kind of come around to Mike Sinistrel as like kind of a sleeper too. I feel like everyone's gonna flock to the outside corners. And for me, he's the one that's got just like this massive upside in a nickel, tackle heavy, playmaker, ball hawk role that I'm really excited to see what he can do.
Mm-hmm. I agree there. Makes me sad for my Quan Martin love from last year, but
could they move him back deep, or could they move him into the box role now that Curl's gone?
Potentially, but Percy Butler there, and that's kind of where he's better. So I don't know what they'll do. It's going to be a little, yeah. It's going to be hard to see at first. But we will see.
Time. I say we jump on down to some of these other questions.
Okay. Good.
Let's see. Veterans to buy. Right now.
Actually, before we do that, I think we should do a bit of an ad read.
All right.
Talk about some promos. Like, let's see. Like we have going on, we've been talking about rookies. So let's talk about the rookie guide that we have going out. Currently, you can get the IDP Plus rookie guide for $9.99. We have a great question in there. That both those names may or may not be in the rookie guide later on. But again, we are updating it every week, currently adding some post-draft analysis to re-release soon. And we have over 100 names in there. I think currently the count is at 108. I checked last night, don't remember. But one of a kind, we have offense, defense, all sorts of positions, have pre-draft analysis, post-draft analysis. And yeah, so check that out. You can buy it in our link. You can see the description in, oh my goodness, you can see... Check the description for the link to the website and to buy the rookie guide. Alrighty. Words.
All right. Who's got a better name on the Saints? Bub Means or Kool-Aid McKinstry?
That's a great question. It's got to be Kool-Aid, I think.
Yeah, I agree. Like Bub. I know you're a big Bub guy, too.
Yeah. Helps that Kool-Aid's a better player.
Veteran buys. Pulled this question and I didn't even really put much thought into it. So I gotta be honest. I'm trying to think through quickly who some guys are that could be good buys that are vets right now. I could see Christian Watson. Is a quote veteran, even though he's only been around for a couple of years, that his value is just super depressed right now. And if you aren't into him, Dontavian Wicks in some circles is a little more expensive, but he's got some pretty good per-snap metrics, and it wouldn't shock me if he beats out Romeo Doubs for a starting job this year. I think he's a better player than Doubs. I also honestly think he's a better fit at X for the Packers and kick Watson over to the flanker spot, but I don't know if they do that.
Yeah, makes sense.
Gus Edwards is always an interesting one in LA. Not much there. Zeke Elliott, if you want to go real cheap at running back.
Yeah, I saw there was a – actually, let's go. There was a question in our Discord that might as well hit. Like, what is a price you would be willing to pay for Zeke, and like, what would you want for him?
So, depends on my situation. I'd probably be willing to part with a third round pick in this class. And that's probably good enough if I'm in a non-competitive situation with Zeke on my roster. If I'm in a competitive situation with Zeke on my roster, most likely I'm not trading him because his value to me is more valuable than whatever I can get for him.
Yeah.
What about, does that make sense? Is that?
Yeah, I agree. I guess I'm in a league we're in together. I am rebuilding and have Zeke. So there, I'd probably take a 3 for him, but also... I don't know. It's like his value is not going to get higher even, no matter what, really. I guess maybe if Rico Dowdle gets hurt and Zeke's really the only man standing, then you might be able to get a late two for him after week five. But yeah, if you have him, you're probably holding, but I'd be willing to sell him for a third. Some good names there. Also, looking at other vet buys.
On the IDP side. I think Troy Anderson is a name that's getting kind of forgotten a little bit.
I agree because
there. He last year, and he's one that you still get some untapped upside there. So he's one that's an interesting veteran buy that's still fairly young. Let's see, who else? Dorrance Armstrong, I like quite a bit. He's a good one in Washington. Should see quite a few snaps there.
Oh, so many names. I'm just trying to think of other places guys have traded for and such. Yeah, I think with the Troy Anderson side, I think a lot of guys who missed time last year with injury, those are typically pretty good buys. Guys will get forgotten about a little bit, or it's kind of... Also, I think another name to bring up that is kind of an interesting one, but like a Michael Mayer, someone who had someone drafted over or near them, what do you think Michael Mayer's value is right now? Like, what would you think you'd be selling him for? Can't imagine would you even get a two for him at this point?
Probably not, in which case I probably wouldn't want to sell.
Yeah, but if someone's just super out, kind of panicking on it, I think he's definitely worth a third round pick. If someone's going to take a third rounder for him, I would absolutely buy him for that in your leagues with the hope that, and really like third, what tight ends are going in the third round in rookie drafts right now? You're getting like JT Sanders, Theo Johnson.
Everyone besides Sinnott and Bowers, right?
Pretty much. So
Sinnott's the only one I might take over him, and that one's tricky too.
Yeah, but I agree. But so I think if you can get Michael Mayer for a third, I think that's a very good buy. He still got the upside. He was a top 40 pick for a reason. And I do still think there is potentially a path to him having some fantasy relevance. Maybe not this year with the quarterback situation, but if they can get a above average quarterback next year in Vegas, I think there still is a way that there's having either if Devontae Adams moves on or like they have Jacoby Myers, Brock Bowers is more of a slot receiver than a tight end. So there is a way I think he could still have some relevance, especially in deeper leagues.
Absolutely. Rookies to come out of in each rookie draft. It's probably going to overlap a little bit with what we kind of talked about.
Yeah. Early.
Some of our sleepers, especially in the later rounds.
Yeah. And I think for this one, kind of wanted to not just talk about, like, obviously I'd love to come out of every draft with Caleb Williams and Marvin Harrison, but that's not realistic.
Not every rookie draft, just most.
Yeah.
All right, round one.
Yeah.
Probably. So you're looking in the later. I mean, I'd take one of the receivers or Drake May, whoever falls, because I mean, May's been falling. People have been taking McCarthy over May, which I just don't understand, I'll be honest. Like, the baseline floor you get with McCarthy, okay. And they're basic, but the assumption there that I feel like people are baking in is that because of Kevin O'Connell and the ecosystem around McCarthy, he can't fail, which is just such a dangerous assumption to make. They're like, oh, I'll take the safe pick. And that's not like, I don't know. Yeah. Quarterbacks are inherently not safe.
Yeah, that's kind of the thing.
And people will be like, I understand why people dislike the argument. Oh, well, the Vikings were willing to trade 11, 23, and their 25 first for May. So clearly he's like that much better. For Dynasty, you can't really think it that linearly either. Like, because at the end of the day, the Patriots landing spot, I mean, even as a Pats fan, I can acknowledge it's nowhere near as good as Minnesota's. Like, there's no Justin Jefferson. There's no TJ Hockenson. There might be a Jordan.
Jalen Polk would like a word.
I know you're a Polk guy, but.
Yeah, no, he's not Justin Jefferson. Yeah, I'm with you on May. I've gotten him at the 11th pick in some leagues. I got him, I took him at 6th in one. And it's like, I will eat up that value every day of the week. And like, I can see why a team would take McCarthy over May. I don't agree with it, but I can see that there, I think there is more likely that McCarthy starts day one than May.
Yeah.
That being said, I'm still taking May every time. I think I was a lot higher on McCarthy than you were, but I still don't think it was relatively close to the talent level.
Yeah.
The Patriots, say what you want about what the Patriots have done, but if nothing else, they understand what Drake May is. If you think they overdrafted Jalen Polk, sure, but he's a perfect fit for his style is a perfect fit for what May does. Same with Javon Baker, who some in the fantasy community thought should have been a first rounder, but and some in the NFL community thought was an undrafted player, but he's a great fit for what Drake May does. And if nothing else, they're trying setting him up to succeed, getting him what is best for him. So, yeah. Another name I'll throw out towards the end of the first round, just talked about Michael Mayer. So I'm going to bring up another Raiders tight end, Brock Bowers. Where he went at, I've 13. Seen him go at, yeah, sorry. 13 overall. He went, what, 6 in that 16-teamer we are in, but that's also tight end premium. He went at 15 in another league I'm drafting that doesn't have IDP. It's like, this is a guy who is, the talent is immense. He could, if he had gone to like a really great spot, he could have been the dynasty tight end one at this point. That sort of talent shouldn't be falling to the mid-second round. So.
Agreed there. Sorry.
No, you are good. Yeah, towards the second round. My cat is yelling at something right now. I will be right back. Sorry.
Late two values. So let me just pull up my board really quickly because that's what we were eventually going to talk about is kind of our draft boards. So I do think if you can get any of the receivers fall, I mean, I've been seeing Penix falling quite a bit, and I've been snatching up that value in the second round. In a super flex league, I don't care, honestly. He was picked 8th overall. He's going to get a shot, and a lot of people like him enough that once he does get a shot, his value is just going to go up. So he's an interesting one to me. If people aren't valuing Benson as RB2, that one's interesting. If anyone lets Latu or Verse fall, they're my edges 1 and 2 in the top IDPs I have in this class. So I'd happily take those guys in the late second. Late two, a lot of those guys are kind of all in the same tier for me.
Yeah, so you said the edge guys, if they're starting to fall, and
Penix.
Can we talk about Michael Penix for a second?
Sure. You missed last week.
I did. Yeah. Just wow. Michael Penix. That was an interesting pick, wasn't it?
Yes. Surprised everyone.
Yeah. And obviously don't want to get into the Discord of like, was it a good pick? Was it a bad pick? We're all going to have our opinions. No one's going to change their mind on it. But
the interesting thing to me is the people that are using the argument that they then backed off and they're like, well, if we don't have to use them for 4 or 5 years, that's a great problem to have. I'm like, you don't use pick 8 to do that. Like,
no.
I don't actually think that's what they're saying. I think they're doing damage control with their starting quarterback, Kirk Cousins, to make sure that he knows he's safe. Right.
Yep.
And make him feel better. I think Kirk Cousins is on a 2-year window with the Falcons. And at that point, they're going to have to pay London. They're going to have to pay Pitts. They're going to have to get ready to pay Bijan. And they're likely going to have to pivot to their now rookie quarterback to do so. So,
yeah, and I had a lot of issues with Penix as a prospect. Still did like him more than Bo Nix, but would I have taken him in 8th overall? I wouldn't have taken him 8th in the second round, but that doesn't really matter at this point. He went 8th overall. Despite the flaws, obviously the Falcons believe in him as their long-term option. And he's falling so far. Like, we have one league we're in together where you took him at 15th, and that is a massive QB premium league.
Yeah.
Like, QBs are scoring pretty much double everything else there.
Quarterback 20 scores roughly what RB1, wide receiver 1, tight end 1. And
checking other leagues, he's closer to 20 than 10. And it's like,
I've gotten him at 15 in the two leagues I took him in.
Mm-hmm.
One is a 16-team super flex, so quarterbacks are at a premium there. And the other one is the one you just talked about, 12 teams, but you're limited on how many quarterbacks you can roster. And I traded up to go get him. So,
yeah. Have you seen him go top 10 anywhere in rookie drafts?
Not yet. I'd be surprised if he did.
But
I probably would be the one to take him there, to be honest.
Yeah, and like, I still don't think I would take him top 10, but it's getting to a point where if he's falling out of the first round, it's like he keeps going. It's like, why? Especially if you're a rebuilding team. Like, if you're a rebuilding team, I know Jonathan Brooks and Trey Benson are going around 12-ish, give or take a few spots. If you're not going to compete this year, why not? Or even next year, why not take Michael Penix and maybe you get a quarterback?
Let's run through some of the guys going in that range real quick. Just
yeah.
You brought the running backs. Why would you take a running back in a rebuild over the quarterback? They can only get hurt, get replaced, whatever. Like, even Brooks, I'm working on my running back dynasty tiers article for IDP Plus right now, and sneak peek, he's going to be in the RB1s. He's around 11 or 12, somewhere in there. His value can absolutely go up, but running backs in general are being devalued. I am willing to pass on him, especially with next year's running back class. I would take the shot on Penix. Wide receivers, like, the one I can make the best argument for is Keon Coleman, because if he hits in Buffalo, he's the one that's going to see the massive value spike. But when you talk about Ladd McConkey in LA, his best case is he stays healthy and gets no target competition. Like, the Chargers are going to get someone else in there next year, most likely. And I would expect that guy to be an X type receiver, which means they're probably going to get more targets than McConkey is long-term, and McConkey's got some health things. So, like, I don't know. I struggle to understand some of these receivers that you might want to take over him, unless you're in a competitive build where maybe I want that locked in, hopefully 120-ish targets from at least for McConkey year one.
Yeah, I totally agree there. I know even in that 16-team league we've referenced a few times, like, I did take Trey Benson over Michael Penix, but I needed a upside running back more than I have 4 quarterbacks on that roster. So I didn't need a 5th quarterback in the 16 in the super flex, but yeah, it's like looking at some of the other picks there. It's like, yeah, Ricky Pearsall, would you? Yeah, he went in the first round, but
So I love Pearsall coming in. That one to me is such a huge risk because not only are everyone saying it is saying, well, he's going to be 2025 guy. All right. Like you're making a few assumptions in there that they get rid of one of Debo or Ayuk next year, which is a risk in and of itself because they could easily figure out a way to make it work. And then he's not going to see much this year because 49ers play Juszczyk. They don't play three receivers. Like, and when they do, it's Juwan Jennings for his blocking. It's not Ricky Pearsall for his route running. So
yep,
he is likely to take a bit of a dive in fantasy value.
Yeah, I'd agree. And then looking at other names, like Jalen Polk, I love him, but if I'm not competing, I don't want a high floor, low ceiling player, frankly. And then Xavier Leggett, that's one I think is super interesting because if he could blow up and become like a legit wide receiver one, there's also a real world where he's just out of the league in 2 years, 3 years.
He's one that it's hard just because, I mean, how much does he see the field in year one? Like, do they let him play enough to give him the opportunities to show you the upside? I got him in that same quarterback heavy scoring league that I got Penix in. And I got him a little later. And I like the upside, and that's what I want. I'm happily willing to take a shot on in the mid to late second, but it's a risk.
Yeah, Leggett is someone who I struggled with him a lot. I know Rider Dynasty co-host Jameis Hutchison loves him, but he's someone I struggled with a lot. But I got him in the fourth round in one draft, and I was like, okay, I will. Which that was a shocking one to me. I was like, why is this guy here? But, which I definitely expected him to be one of those guys, like Xavier Worthy. His stock is inflating a lot. He's going top six in some super flex leagues. I kind of expected, maybe not that much for Leggett, but expected him to be a first rounder most places. And you know, he's been falling a lot, which is surprising.
So I think some of that is like you're coupling a risky profile with Bryce Young.
So many people want, a lot of the same people who are now fading him also wanted him in Carolina, even after the Deontay Johnson trade. So it just seems inconsistent. But
Johnson's only there for a year. Thielen, they have an out after this year. He could easily be the top receiver in Carolina next year.
Very easily.
We got this question in. We can go back to our rookies target here in a minute. But Dorian Williams or Drew Overshown? So I saw something. Honestly, I'm not sure either of them is going to have enough value to matter. Overshown, I think, is getting ready to play the strong side linebacker in Dallas. And Williams, I mean, they've got so many guys in there.
Yeah, I think it has to be Overshown.
He's going to at least see the field.
Yes. Milano's back. Terrell Bernard might be linebacker one. But yeah, and then they drafted someone else this year, didn't they?
Yeah, in the Ulu Foscio.
Washington. Edifon. Ulu Foscio. Which is still something.
For sure.
Yeah, I'd go Overshown here.
So third round.
Yeah. Here's the spot where in a super flex league, I want to bring up Spencer Rattler. I want to bring that name up here. Mate, I don't know if he's a third round player or a fourth rounder most, but he's someone who I love the profile. Loved strong. Like the profile a lot, especially for a non-day one potential player. I like him more than Michael Penix and Bo Nix by a decent margin. The fifth round, did he go in the fourth or fifth?
Fifth
was surprising and a little disappointing, but we've seen fifth rounders get playing time often. Sam Howell started all of last season. We all know about Brock Purdy. It's not, it was even later, but The Saints situation is weird. Derek Carr is not loved by teammates, from all accounts. If you see all the body language from Chris Olave, everyone else, they're kind of frustrated with him. That's kind of how it seemed in Vegas / Oakland as well. I think he's a good player. I do like Derek Carr, but I think he leaves a lot to be desired, sort of lack of aggressiveness and such. So if he gets hurt or just kind of fall out of contention, why not give the rookie some go? And Rattler has all the arm talent in the world. I think he's someone who could, especially at Superflex, it's an upside dart throw that, again, in the third, fourth round, why not take it? I think there is a path to play at some point. Probably not this year, but there's a way. There's a world where in 2025, 2026, he gets a starting chance.
I have him as a fourth rounder, but
yeah, I guess it kind of depends.
Let's see.
League size.
Third round guys. Jermaine Burton is a big one.
Yes.
For me, Marshawn Lloyd's been falling in there. He's one I'd target, happily come away with in the third round. And then Trevon Wallace on the IDP side.
Oh, yeah.
As well. So those three are the ones I would bring up in the third round. Lloyd's already getting hyped up. I think he's going to be the running back two there. And they already run, they run two backs. So I fully expect him to see 40-ish% of snaps probably in Green Bay this year.
Is that about what A.J. Dillon was playing last year?
Yeah. And he can do all the same things Jacobs can. They can be used interchangeably, to be honest.
Very similar players.
Yeah. Burton is discount Ricky Pearsall, essentially.
Yep.
Probably at best the third receiver. I honestly don't even know if they want to put him in the slot or not, but he should take over the T. Higgins role next year. And that's one where I do expect Higgins for sure to leave.
Yeah.
They have not tried to negotiate. The Bengals have some of the lowest cash outlays in the league, and they already paid Burrow. They're going to pay Chase. So he doesn't have the high ceiling of a Chase or someone that you're targeting, but you're picking him in the third round hoping for a wide receiver too. Like, I think that's a pretty solid bet. And then Trevon Wallace is probably a bench stash for year one. I doubt he gets in over Josie Jewell or Shaq Thompson, but I'm not sure either of them are there in 2025. And you could be looking at, I don't know if he's going to be the Mike or the Will, but he should be a tackle machine. And he's still only 21 years old. So prototypical size, three down skill set.
Jermaine Burton a little more.
Sorry, I was just going to say drafted by a former NFL linebacker as well in Morgan.
Always fun there when you see that. But to hit on Jermaine Burton a little more, yeah, I think this is going to be a super sneaky one. I know you just got him in that 16-teamer at the end of the second, but basically a third rounder. Because some rude person double sniped you, but that's not for right now. But yeah, I think there's a legit chance he's like a real fantasy wide receiver too as soon as 2025. It's like the talent profile is there. And with that, it could really be good for Ja'Marr Chase too. Chase does really well. He's best when he is able to go inside and outside, which with Tyler Boyd there and T. Higgins, those two kind of need a little more inside time. So Chase has been more on the outside, but Burton doesn't project as well from the slot just with his route skill set. So I think this could be really good for Ja'Marr Chase to get a little more consistency from that top tier play. As no last, not last year, 2022, there was a little bit of inconsistency with his profile, but
Burton, I think that's Burton's really good. He's the ideal flanker. Like,
he is
downfield, going to have a high A dot, going to have some blow up weeks. You probably want him as your wide receiver three, but he can probably put up wide receiver two numbers over the course of the year. It's just going to be a little inconsistent week to week. Yep. So wide receiver three flex type of player. We'll see where the targets fall for him. If he can get T. Higgins 120-ish targets from Burrow, it should be a pretty strong season for him.
Yeah, especially if you're getting him in the third round. Hell yes. Another third rounder, IDP-wise, Chop Robinson, my name to bring up. Think this is probably about where he's going, or is he also going in the fourth, would you say?
The only IDP draft I've done so far, it was early third, but that was the 16.
Yeah. Double checking the other one, which that one doesn't have a lot of, isn't super IDP savvy.
I would think 3-4 range is probably reasonable. I would put him in the that kind of vicinity, so could see either one.
Yeah. But anyway, third round. It's a weird room. It's very much an upside shot. Just Jalen Phillips, Bradley Chubb, both coming off massive injuries. And then Shaq Barrett is there, but he is aging and has also been injured often recently. So how much time will Chop get early on? I really don't know. It could just be a four-man rotation, but or could just be him and Barrett are the only healthy ones. So we will see. Feel good about him with the Baltimore style defense, though.
I like that one. He's a 2025 play, but
I tend to agree.
Did get a question, kind of pertinent. IDP rookie will have the most tackles on their teams without injury. Colson's the obvious one, and behind Colson, it's Cooper, depending on how quickly Green Bay puts him ahead of McDuffie. I do think McDuffie probably starts the year wearing the dot and Cooper takes over partway through the year, but we'll see. They do look to play their young guys. So
they do. I'm trying to think if there's anyone else who might be a sneaky. Yeah, the answer is probably Colson. Another name to throw out is Cedric Gray for the Titans. Kenneth Murray is Kenneth Murray. Then Jack Gibbons is the only other real competition there. So there is a real world where Gray is the linebacker one midway through the year on the team. But
question for you. I got another one. I forgot about Peyton Wilson. Should start next to Queen. And I do think there's a shot that he can out-tackle Queen. I don't think it's likely, but I do think it's possible.
The scheme he ran in college
was not ideal for him. Mm-mm. If you put him in that Pittsburgh scheme, there's a shot he could out-tackle Queen.
Yeah. I'm really curious how they deploy them. I think he's honestly just like a very stiff version of Patrick Queen. I don't think he's the Roquan style that really unlock Queen, but I don't know. I guess it's possible, especially if Queen does regress without Roquan Smith there. Wilson's just there, a body there, but yeah, I guess, I don't know. I struggle with Peyton Wilson a lot, so what do you think?
I like him. He's going to be hard to value in rookie drafts because of the short shelf life he's likely to have in the NFL. So you're basically looking at contenders only for the most part. So I haven't seen where he's been going in drafts. He hasn't gone yet. So
yeah, I don't think I've seen him drafted yet, honestly, in any of my leagues. Maybe at the end of the draft, but
interesting.
No, I've taken Cedric Gray over him, but I also like that.
In this prospect. I think those two are in the same tier, those two and Trevin. And yes, Roberts is still there. But my thought on that, at least, is they didn't have him start Roberts starting last year to start the year. And if you draft Wilson, a guy with a time clock on him with his knee, I don't think you're drafting him to sit behind Queen and Roberts, especially an older player like Roberts.
Yeah, I agree there.
My guess is Roberts is basically those two might kind of alternate some games because of Wilson's knee if they're trying to like rest him or whatever. So, and Roberts is not exactly the best athlete.
No, especially not at this point in his career.
Yeah. Let's see. What else did we have? Round four.
Yes. That's where we are.
Cole Bishop. I know you're not a fan, but you might be able to get DB
landing spot. Yeah.
In the fourth round. And that Buffalo landing spot is pretty juicy.
I totally agree. He should be the box safety, I'd assume. Or at least that's what it seems like. So, yeah, if he's in the fourth round, might as well take that shot, especially in a relatively weak DB class. All the sleepers we brought up earlier on, this is probably where they're, you can start looking at them.
Yeah. Kamani Vidal on offense is my running back sleeper.
Yeah. Love Vidal. There is a real chance he could be the running back one this year.
Yeah, but
I guess here's I think him, Tyrone Tracy, Rasheen Ali all have a legit path to solid play time. But Ali less, so Derek Henry.
Yes.
But
Ali, you would draft with the hopes that Henry's only there for a year.
Yep.
But even then, with basically, you have to be really careful this year with running backs. The second the season's over, you want to get rid of any of those late round guys this year, this upcoming season. Because next year's running back class is so loaded that you're most likely going to lose value on pretty much all of them.
Yeah,
Jonathan Brooks went early second. He probably will not be as talented as some of the running backs going in the third round next year.
It's probably true. Yeah, next year's running back class looks loaded. I've started doing my 2025 work, but
you're going to see some first rounders next year.
We might see three.
Yeah, there's a couple of them. The Boise State kids get the pass catching chops to go in round one, I think.
Mm-hmm. Can never remember his name.
Yeah, both Ohio State guys. We'll be interested to see how they play.
Another Penn State running back.
Yeah.
North Carolina and Oklahoma State have one.
Ollie Gordon's really good.
He is. Omarion Hampton for North Carolina was the only thing helping Drake May last year.
Yeah, and that's not even all of them. But
it'll be fun.
Yeah.
This year's class was quarterbacks and wide receivers. Next year is edge rushers and running backs.
Yeah, and tight ends.
And tight ends.
I think
and tackles again, which is fun.
Let's see, who else could go? This is where you have Nealon, Braswell, McGee. Yeah, yep.
The second tier of tight ends is probably going here as well. Your JT Sanders, Theo Johnson.
Eric Hall,
Jared Wiley might be even going a little later. Wow. Then you have like your handcuff running backs, the Will Shipley, Audric Estime, Bucky Irving,
Braylon Grindo.
Him.
He's not going to be a handcuff this year. But.
Yeah. Oh, another name we should hit on, Javon Baker.
Yep.
Upside.
I would guess he's the X receiver for the Patriots by 2025. Because I think he's the better fit there. And I think Polk profiles better either slot or flanker.
Yeah, Polk definitely projects best as big slot, then still outside on in two receiver sets. But
yeah, I've seen a lot of Jacoby Myers comps with Polk.
Yeah, Jacoby Myers, Chris Godwin, Tyler Boyd, stylistically, not necessarily upside, but that sort of players. Godwin, but not quite the same upside was mine for him. It's not that level of athlete, but similar style. But
it'll be interesting.
Yeah, Javon Baker has. There's also big flaws in his profile, but he does project as a potential X if he can get some of that, those chinks in the armor worked out.
As a Patriot fan, he's the one that blows up our social media, like the people following and everything. They're the ones who talk about. They talk about Baker all the time. Just he's got an attitude about him that hasn't been seen in a while.
Yeah. Yeah.
And sorry, Sir Bakeslaw. I don't know that he goes this early, but he Dylan Labbe out of New Hampshire, both of us liked a lot.
Yeah.
I do think, yes, he's a good fit there. And Zamir White and Alexander Mattison are not great pass catchers, like you said.
Yep. So.
But we are already out of time somehow.
Yeah. Much fun. Before we get out of here, let's do one more ad read. Like as we're traveling out, let's talk about our traveling partner, Expedia. If you check the link in the show description, you can get to Expedia and see great deals they have going on. Mother's Day is on the horizon, and Expedia is the place to make it special for the mom in your life. You can get 10% off or more at over 100,000 hotels worldwide, and even 30% off when booking a flight. So use Expedia and travel on, as we are going to travel out of here for the week. What a great transition. It wasn't, you know. So, any last plugs or thoughts, Justin? You are muted, friend.
That would help. Thanks. great stuff coming out this week and last week. Last week we had all of our defensive ranks and tiers updated with rookies. Offenses coming out this week. I think it was receivers dropped today.
I believe so.
Keep an eye out for all of that. So just check out the great content that's coming out over at AP Plus.
Yeah, there's a lot of it, including the Rider Dynasty podcast, which I'm a part of, that comes out Fridays at some point during the day. This week we are recording and releasing a two-round IDP-only rookie mock draft. So check in for that. It'll be fun. Yeah, just want to say thank you again, Justin. It's been fun doing the mailbag show this offseason, and hopefully I'm able to get back onto it soon. And thank all of you for watching, listening, asking questions, participation. You can always reach Justin at jfrydp on X or me at joelo63. Oh, God, first try on the point. Look at us.
Great. Almost professionally. Great having you on, man. Appreciate it.
Yeah, it's been a blast. And I will still be around. Shoot any questions to us or to the this side. There it is. Mailbag at idpguys.org. Even better. Yeah. And may the 7th be with you, since we just missed that by a couple days. And yeah, thank you all again.